Okay, I wanted to start a series regarding issues of muksa, which we haven't touched on. And today we're just going to have an introduction. And B'ezras Hashem, next week and the future weeks, we'll get into a lot of the details of inyani muksa. What does muksa mean? What is the word? What does muksa mean? So muksa, literally, the definition of muksa is off limits, set aside, set away, set away. You could have muksa. The Gemara uses the word muksa even for muksa of avodah zara, also designated for. You set it aside for. So muksa is the opposite in Hilchos Shabbos of muchan. Muchan means it is prepared, it is ready, it is useful, it is usable. While muksa means separated and set away and something that we're not going to use. Muksa is one of the areas of Shabbos that come up all the time. There are some areas of Shabbos that come up sometimes. There are some areas of Shabbos that never come up. And there are some areas of Shabbos that come up pretty often. And muksa is one that comes up pretty often. So it's important to know general messages of muksa, the halakhas of muksa, and the different categories of muksa, in that there are seven or eight different categories of muksa that that one has to be aware of. Where did muksa come from? It's not one of the 39 malachas. It is a world that, according to most, is derabanan. It's a world that is derabanan. The Rambam writes in the beginning in the Hilchos Shabbos in Perach of Balad and the Perach of Balad Halacha Yudbeis Yud Gimel. The Rambam gives a couple of reasons for the isurim for the world created by the rabanan of muksa. The Chachamim forbade movement of certain items on Shabbos in the way it's moved on weekday. Why? Why did they create the world of muksa? If I'm not doing a malacha, so why can't I move my computer? Why can't I move my I don't know, my fancy this? Right? Muksa, what's the matter? Amrud, they said, Uma'im is see, the Rambam gives three reasons. Three reasons for muksa. Uma'im is Neviim. And they commanded that you're walking on Shabbos should not be like you're walking during the week. And your conversations on Shabbos are not supposed to be like your conversations during the week. If your walking is supposed to be different and your talking is supposed to be different, then what you handle is also supposed to be different. What you're involved in is also supposed to be different. So it's not just a weekday. It's not like every other day. And you come to might come to pick up and to fix things. I might clean out my garage on Shabbos. You know, I'm not doing any malacha. What am I doing? I'm just cleaning, and it'll just be like a weekday. I'm sitting at home anyway. I'm not going to work. It comes out that I did not rest, and here's a key line of the Rambam. And the Torah says you're supposed to rest on Shabbos. What did the Rambam just do? Was he quoting a pasuk here? We're talking about muksa. Muksa is the world of Rabbanon. What's he quoting a pasuk for? So explain the achronim. Sometimes there are details of a mitzvah that are Rabbanon, but when I fulfill them, it's a kiyum daraisa. Chiyuvim Rabbanon. But a kiyum daraisa. There are other examples of this where a detail, Amir La'akta might be this too. But the Rambam is telling us if I fulfill the laws of muksa, the laws of muksa are obligatory only midrabanan. But when I fulfill them, I create a reality of shvisa midaraisa. And the Rabbanan told us how to help fulfill that. And that's why the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Laman Yanuach. Again, because we need to create differences between Shabbos and weekday. So if our walking is different and our talking is different, so too, what we're involved in has to be different. Reason number one of the Rambam. Number two, Number two, Zera. If I'm allowed to handle scissors and pens and staplers and kalim shemalachtam le'isser, there's a good chance I might use them. Imagine without the laws of muksa. Imagine you could carry your wallet in your pocket and pens. I'm telling you, if I had a pen in my pocket and I was learning on Shabbos, many times I would violate. I would, because often I'm learning and all of a sudden I want to underline something. Like my hand goes to my pocket and I'm like, oh, it's Shabbos. There's no pencil there. It happens because the Rabbanan knew what they were talking about. Zera, if I'm handling something, if I have something in my hand, so then there's a good chance I'm going to use it. So number two issue of Muksa is that said nothing that could lead to a malacha to your hand. Maybe, and this is, there's hints of this in the Gemara. Be able to carry all different things on Shabbos, live in a place without an Erev, you might come to carry outside, and then, you know, it's a problem. So the Rabbanim wanted to limit as many things from your hand on Shabbos, so you don't come to carry it outside. Similar. That's reason number two, whether it's malachos or dafka hotza, like the Rabbit says, that's number two. And finally, the Rambam says, but oh, and I think we can understand this more in our day right now. This reason really, it's a chord. But it strikes a chord with us nowadays, because the Rambam says the third idea in the Rambam, he says there are many people that aren't professionals and they're home all day anyway. And the Rambam says, the Talon Kol Yemein, the Yosh Pei Kronos, the Kol Yemein shows to be Malacha, Im Yei Mutta Lahalech L'Daber L'Taltav, Shar Yamim, Nimso Shaloshav Ashvis and Nikaras. Imagine, and I think nowadays, imagine a time without electricity, without other modern inventions. You have to be home unless you're quarantined in your house. And you were able to like handle all different things in your house. What would be the difference between Shabbos and weekday? It wouldn't be much different. You're home, right? In a day where you didn't, where there wasn't electricity. Rambam says you need a shvisa niteres. That's the language of the Rambam. You need a recognizable difference in behavior between Shabbos and weekday. Lefichach shvisa midvarim elu he shvisa shabbat b'chol adam. And therefore, the Rambam says, the Rabbanan attacked and targeted in many different areas that we are involved in, to say don't be involved in those on Shabbos, and in that way we could create a difference. Again, these are three ideas of the Rambam. Number one, to create a leman yanuach, a fulfillment of a day of rest. Number two might be gzera, you might come to do malachas. And number three, to have a recognizable shvisa to an outsider that we're involved in different things on Shabbos than we are on Yom. Number one. Number two, second point to make, this is kind of what the Rambam already said, but just to emphasize it, because it's said by Rishonim already, the Yisurei D'Rabbanan of Shabbos are not just Yisurei D'Rabbanan, they're different than other Yisurei D'Rabbanan in other areas of Halacha. This is D'Rabbanan of Basar B'Chalav is purely D'Rabbanan. This is D'Rabbanan of most areas are purely D'Rabbanan. The Yisurei D'Rabbanan of Shabbos help create the Daraisa elements of Shabbos. This is said by the Ritva, this is said by the Ramban. The Ramban in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Emor, says this, and I'm not going to read it, but the Ramban, I'll read it one line. Then it's Tavinu min HaTorah, Lios lo Menucha, Afilu midvarim she'ein an malacha. The Torah itself wants us to stay away from activities that aren't even a malacha, in order for us to be able to have a positive experience of Shabbos, even on a Goraisa level. And if we, again, like the Rambam said, and we already explained it, if somebody would schlep things from here to there, and they can have their, you know, their store open, and people go in and take stuff and buy stuff on credit, then there were no muksa issues, so then it could just be like a weekday. So the area in the whole world of muksa, partially, is about creating a day that is different. And there are kiyumim d'oraisa in the world of muksa, even though it is a world that was created by the Rabban. Okay, that's all, just all background, a couple of points. So what is muksa? So what do you, before we get to the categories of muksa, what do you know how to do? So the what's clear is one is not allowed to directly move something that is in the category of muksa. but is not allowed to move something that is in the categories of muksa. One is allowed, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's in Minchin Ches, Sif Membez, you're allowed to touch muksa. If I go over with my finger and I go, boop, that's okay. That's mutter. You just can't move it. If there are things that when you touch it, it for sure moved, that's the problem. But the Shulchan Aruch says, Dover Shu muksa mutter lika bo, bevachol yehe mananea, afil miksaza. As long as you don't move it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch also, earlier in Siv Gimel, the same Shimon Shinches is the Simon in Shulchan Aruch about Muksa. Says the Shulchan Aruch, call Muksa in Israel a bit till two, touch Muksa but not move Muksa. Therefore, you can lean on Muksa. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shruman Sadeshen. Mutter Liga b'minora, Shema Pesach Knesses, b'nerus b'okos alav. They used to have a big menorah in the shul, let's say next to steps. So you could hold on to the menorah to get up the steps. That's okay, as long as you're not moving muksa, as long as you are only touching a muksa. This is the Truma Sadesh, says you're allowed to support yourself on a stationary menorah. The Poskim, though, point out that this is only mutter, that you're allowed to touch muksa if you're touching it for your own need, like the case of the Truma Sadesh. You're supporting yourself. Let's say I wanna go up the steps, so I'm gonna hold on to a rock to hold myself and steady me. So that's okay. Because touching muksa is okay if it's for the person. But for the davar hamuksa itself, so then that's a problem. That's what the Truma Sadeshin says. That to touch muksa, if it's for the davar hamuksa, that's not allowed. So where does that come up? Let's say you have something that's expensive. I don't know. You see money on the floor and you want to cover it so that you could come get it after Shabbos or something. So what if the cover is going to touch the muksa? So that could be a problem. Also, touching muksa is okay if you're touching it with sarach yourself. But with touching it with sarach cover hamuksa could be a problem. Post can talk about what about in those days, let's say there was a chicken that lay an egg on Shabbos. So you want to cover it. You don't want it to get broken. So you put a bowl over the egg. What if the bowl touches the egg? So that's what the post could talk about, that if you put an egg over a bowl, that could be a problem if it touches it, because you're doing that with Sarah cover on muksa. You're not doing that for yourself. So yes, only touching muksa, only moving muksa is a problem, but not touching muksa. But if the touching muksa is the Sarah cover on muksa, and it could be a problem as well. Yeah, but that's a rule of touching versus moving. What is not included? What's not included in muksa? Anything that is inherently mukhan is not included. So all food. All food is, even if I didn't think that I was going to eat it on Shabbos, that's not a problem. Shulchan Aruch says, Kisvei HaKodesh V'Ochlin Mutter L'Taltalam Afilu Shlo L'Tzorach Klal. I can move bread from one side of the room to the other side of the room. There's no problem with something that's inherently red mukhan, food and kalim and svarim, right? Any of that, that's all muksa, because that's all mukhan, because Chazal wanted to make sure that there were certain items that were not included. Again, this is not anything having to do with a kli that has an inherent use, any type of bowl or plate or fork, any of that obviously is not included. Ochav v'kalim. Almost everything else besides ochav v'kalim and svarim potentially could be muksa. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks, I think. Hopefully maybe 3 weeks we could try to do it. Klisham l'achtol iser, muksa machwes chesram kis, muksa machwes gufo, muksa machwes iser, muksa machwes mitzvah, nolad, asis l'davar aser. These are all things that come up all the time. It sounds like a lot of different categories. But Beth Hashem, we'll try to make some order and sense to it. Yeah, Yonatan.
Kalim refers to like to food kalim specifically, because like what's defined as a kli? Like
food kalim, food kalim. Yeah, like bowls and plates and cups and forks and knives. Right. There are other kalim that are kli shem off the list, or would obviously be a problem. Yeah, Ariel.
What counts as letzorech atzmo and what counts as letzorech hadavar mukte? Because I mean, the egg, is that for me or is that for the egg? I want the egg. It's for me or is that for the, like, what's the rule?
I want the egg long term. But right now, the short term, I'm moving this bowl to protect the egg. I'm not doing it to help me right now. Mm. That's why it will be called the egg. So again, it's a little tricky, but again, that there are some, as we'll talk about in the world of muksa, there are some areas of muksa that are very surprising. You know, one might say, you know, like it could be like something very little small, like your driver's license might be muksa, might be more muksa than, let's say, a car.
Good.
You know, something is, I remember the post can talk about, I'm jumping ahead, but just one of the surprising halachas, I'll just say, like in the days of old, let's say you lived in a place and you wanted never enough room in your refrigerator. So you wanted to, you know, find a place to put sodas. So let's say you live in a cold environment. What about putting sodas in the trunk of your car? You would think like, what? That's crazy. But nowadays, there are lights that go on. So it doesn't work. Like in the front, there are lights that go on. But in the days of old, I remember cars that, you know, it's like dead until you turn the car on. So putting stuff in the trunk of the car is a possibility, because then we're going to see a car could be a klisha malachto le'isser in the trunk. So there are some fascinating and surprising halachas that we'll have to talk about. What happens if you come back to your room, your computer or your phone is on your bed? How do you get into bed? What if you left some muksa items on a table? There are a lot of halachas. These come up all the time. And we have to know what to do, because we don't want to be too mako. We also don't have to be too machmir. So we'll have to see exactly what the halachas are, and we'll pick up with that by the time next week. Sorry, today's just be a little shorter. I just got to run.